Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings to help you to relax and fall asleep. This is episode number 21, and on the menu of whispers for this episode, I'll be rambling about a quote about communicating truth. Chat. I have a little update about the podcasting gear that I use, and I'll share an email I received since the last episode. And as always, I'll share some comments from one of the surveys. The fade out for this episode will be me reading a two character play, and I'll read each character into a different microphone, so it's ear to ear. If you are a new listener, then welcome to my little world of whispers. My email is sleepwhispers@gmail.com. And my website is sleepwhispers.com. You'll find links on the website and in the show notes of each episode for taking the podcast survey, writing a review, or accessing the bonus content. All right, now on to lots of whispered ramblings and whispered readings. Chat now about the curious quote. And one thing I'll point out, have you noticed that I do this kind of, it seems like a big dramatic pause between when I finish the intro and when I start the curious quote? It's actually a very practical purpose. If I pause after the intro for a long time like that, it makes it easier for me to find where the curious quote starts, because I put the time code into the show notes. So I just scroll along my waveform until I see a big gap, and then I just zoom into the time, and that's where I know the curious quote starts. And then you'll hear a similar long pause. because when I start the meta chat and when I do the intro for the fade out, so it's not for dramatic pause or anything, or that I'm doing anything. I just sit here for a couple seconds, and it just makes it easier to find the time code. Alright. Oh, the curious quote. That's what I'm doing. Tonight's quote is "An injurious truth has no merit over an injurious lie." And this is another quote from Mark Twain. And this one is from On the Decaying Art of Lying. The key part of this quote that made me clip it out many years ago are the two words, injurious truth. When I read the quote and I read those words, it made me rethink about how I think about truth. And I have this vision of this spectrum of truth. And so it made me just have a new thought about it. So on this visual I have of truth, on the far left is like lack of truth, meaning malicious lies. So that's way over on the left. And like for Mark Twain, he calls it injurious lies. So probably the same thing. It's when you purposely lie. To be mean in some way. So that's way over on the left. And then as you start moving towards the middle of the spectrum, there's white lies. Those are the, you know, the little lies you tell or I tell. Because you're trying to not hurt someone's feelings. Or it just doesn't feel appropriate to be completely honest. And in the middle of the spectrum of truth is avoidance. It's where you're not telling any kind of lie, and you're not telling any kind of truth, but you just avoid. Kind of being honest. So if someone says, "Do you like my shoes?" your reply might be, "Oh, I used to have shoes like that." And you just kind of change the topic, or you don't really answer it. So I think we all kind of do that in some way sometimes, and maybe politicians are known for doing that the most. moving now to the right on the spectrum into the area more of truth is gentle truth. It's where you're honest with someone in a very gentle and appropriate way, and the other person receives it well because of the way you said it. And then on the far right of truth is what I refer to as tough love. That's where you might be really trying to be, or you are being, or I am being, very honest. And it may not be easy for the other person to hear, but my intentions are good. And that was where my spectrum kind of ended, on the far right with tough love. And so when I read this quote a while ago, and I saw the words injurious truth, it made me be more aware that sometimes it's not just about my intention, but what may be more important is how the person receives it. So even if I don't intend for them to feel hurt, that may not be the most important thing. If they feel hurt, then that may be the most important thing. And so tough love can be too tough, and it may not be a good thing if it is injurious truth. And just overall throughout my life, I've moved somewhat slowly from the left side of the spectrum to the right side of the spectrum. I don't think I was ever really on the far left of the spectrum. I don't believe that I told malicious or injurious lies. I mean, I hope I didn't. My ego, and I think most people's egos are very protective, so I'd like to think I never did, but when I was young, we're not always aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it. But I do remember being young and telling lots of white lies, because it was definitely important not to hurt someone's feelings, but also important to be liked. Sometimes it's a combination of that, why I might tell a white lie so the person doesn't feel bad, and they don't feel bad towards me. But I do that a lot less now, because I don't what's best for the other person and for my relationship with the person. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at either avoiding misleading someone, which is that middle zone where you're not really being honest or deceitful. You're just avoiding it. But I don't even like to do that. I think the big challenge I try to take on is gentle truth. I feel that gentle truth is the healthiest and the most helpful for me and the other person and our relationship or our moment. Because, I mean, it may not always be like a deep relationship. It could be all sorts of interactions. And if done right, I think most people appreciate gentle truth. I also have noticed in myself as I've gotten older that the extent at which I am truthful has gotten more bold and it's gotten more direct, and it has fallen into that area sometimes of tough love. I might feel that the other person is being defensive, or they're in denial, or they're not aware of something, and my honesty of how I feel or how I perceive something can be very persistent, and I justify it in my mind as I have good intention and I think it's going to help the other person. But what I want to be aware of by this quote is that tough love can be too tough, and I need to be better instead at gentle love or gentle truth. Alright, here's my summary, so I can wrap up this ramble. I want to find the appropriate ground between gentle truth and tough love. And I need to be aware and avoid this concept of injurious truth. If I am truly using appropriate, gentle truth, and someone, the other person, does not want to hear the potential helpfulness, then that may be their flaw. But if my honest words are so sharp and insensitive that my words are somehow injurious to the other person, then that is my flaw. And that's what I want to be better about. Yeah. Okay, I think I wrapped it up. Alright, here comes the gap of silence, so I can find the time code easily. Now on to the meta chat, which is feedback from you and updates from me. And tonight I have a small update about my podcasting equipment, an email I received recently, and comments from one of the surveys. There's again no new bonus content this week. So originally my plan was to create new bonus content every week, which may have been a little bit too initially ambitious. So I've switched over to just doing it on more of a request basis. I think that makes it more efficient for me and more appropriate, because the purpose of the bonus content is to be able to provide content that is wanted and desired by you that may not be appropriate for the normal podcast. So, if there's some bonus content you want, then just let me know anytime. Alright, now an update about my podcasting equipment. Last week, I tried that setup with my new Y cables that allowed me to use 4 microphones at once. And I did that for the end of the episode with the catalog browsing. Technically, it worked. I was able to record from 4 microphones at once, but it didn't really have the audio quality that I had hoped or that I prefer. So I wasn't super final sound of it. So, I purchased another piece of equipment, and I'm hoping that it increases the quality of my recordings a bit more. And so it's supposed to arrive on Monday, and that will give me several days to test it. And if it does sound better, then the next episode will be done with that equipment. And if when I test it, it doesn't sound better, then I'm just gonna ship that piece of equipment back to the company. Oh, the type of equipment is, it's a preamp, or it's just a, I don't even know what it's called. I'm not an audio engineer. I know the basic part of the piece of equipment that I'm hoping will improve the sound is the preamp in this piece of equipment. So, I don't know. I'll find out. No new reviews for the podcast in the iTunes store. But if anyone's interested in writing a review for this podcast, there is a link in the show notes. And a link on the website. I received an email this week from Patty, and Patty has written me before, and I read an email from her. It was a while ago. And she said one of the sweetest things ever. And so here is the second email I received from Patty. Good morning, Harris. It has been a couple of months since I last reached out to you. I just wanted to let you know that I am still listening to your soothing voice every night. I believe it is fortunate for me that you only produce one show per week, since it takes me an entire week to finish one podcast. I keep falling asleep. You are so talented, and your good-natured sense of humor makes me smile. Thank you so much for helping me to rest my mind so that I can fall asleep. So glad that I found you. Enjoy your weekend, Patty. Thank you again, Patty, for reaching out and having such warm words. It really is great to know that you are still out there and that you are still listening and that you are still falling asleep to my little whispers. I've mentioned how podcasters can pod fade, and I often wonder about how listeners can do the same. You know, they can, or you could just stop listening, and I wouldn't know. I don't think there's a term for that. I haven't heard a term for listeners who drift away from a podcast. Oh, how about pod drifting? Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. So for those that haven't pod drifted, thank you all for sticking with me. And it really is cool, Patty, to hear from you again and to know that you're still out there. I received one new survey response since the last episode, and it was from Amy T. And Amy completed survey number 24. So thank you, Amy. And you said something in the comments that you wrote in the survey about there being something in the podcast, and no one has really said it the way that you said it, and I'd never thought about it like that. And others probably don't know what I'm talking about, but I know you do, Amy, and I really liked what you wrote, and I will share with everyone what Amy wrote when we get up to survey number 24, the one she completed. But I'm still catching up, and I'm trying to do it fairly. So today I'm reading comments from survey 17. Person who filled out survey number 17 selected other and wrote in the word Facebook for how they discovered the podcast. And this is the first person to say this. So, thank you to whoever shared info about my podcast on Facebook, which helped this person find my podcast and then fill out my survey and write Facebook. I don't know if that all makes sense. But the reason that no one has written Facebook before probably is because I'm horrible at marketing my podcast. I just publish each episode and release it out there. And if people find it, then that's great. I don't do any mentions of it on Facebook or Twitter or any other social media accounts. So, I know at least one listener has suggested that I do. And I think it's a good suggestion. Not so much just for marketing, but a Facebook page would provide a good way for you to interact with each other. Another way to interact with me, and another way to get updates and information about the podcast. I don't know, but anyway, I haven't done any Facebook stuff with the podcast, so anyone who does share information about my podcast on their social media accounts, thank you. You're helping me out, and I definitely appreciate that. Thank you. The next question on the survey, for which this person typed something in, was the reason that they enjoy the fade out as the section they enjoy the most. And they wrote a short sentence to explain why. And here's what they wrote. It is very calming. I've noticed so far with a lot of the surveys that I've read so far that for the question that asks, which section do you enjoy the most, that the fade out is not the most selected response. And I'm not 100% sure why, but I think it may be that many of you are asleep by then, because I have seen emails and comments about how many of you fall asleep before you get to the fade out. So it may be a good reason. For the question, which section do you enjoy the least? This person selected MetaChat. And they wrote two short sentences. Here's what they wrote. No real reason. Just had to pick one. I was thinking about what you wrote to the prior question. And I was trying to come up with a reason why, though, might have selected MetaChat as the section you enjoy the least, even though you don't seem to have a reason. And I wonder if it's because if you find the fade out calming, it may be because I tend to talk in a much more calming and slower tone in the fade out. And in the meta chat, it's a lot faster. And sometimes I get excited about things, and I just blah, 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 blah. And I can understand how that may not be as calming as the slower and more monotone whisper that I use usually for the fade out. Anyway, I'm just kind of guessing. For the weaknesses of the podcast, this person wrote one sentence. Here it is. I don't know of any weaknesses. You are much too kind. You know, and maybe I'm too much of a perfectionist. Maybe I have OCD, or I'm just very self-critical, and you know, maybe all those things are a little bit unhealthy, but I always think there's things I can or I should improve. But what I should do is just look at your reply and read it and be grateful. But my mind starts thinking of things to suggest to you. Like, well, what about this? And what about this? This is... I can do this better, and I can do this better. And that's not always a good thing for me to think in response when someone just says something nice. So, thank you for saying that. It is kind, and I need to be better at just absorbing the goodness of feedback like that. For the strengths of the podcast, this person wrote two sentences, and here's what they wrote. It is content to listen to. There is new content in each episode. So this was kind of funny for me from my perspective, because I was reading what you typed, and there's a word that you use twice that is spelt the exact same way but it has a different meaning, and it's pronounced differently. And so when I just read those two sentences, it may not have stood out to you or to anyone else. But when you look at those two sentences, my mind got confused. I'm trying to think of the word. It's not synonym. I think it's homonym. I think homonym is the word for two words that are spelt the same, but mean different things and are pronounced differently, I think. So the two words are content and content. And so I was at first confused when I read it, because I saw it is content to listen to. There is new content in each episode. And I was like, that, what did they mean to write? Oh, I get it. It is content to listen to. There is new content in each episode. Anyway, just my stupid little brain just getting easily confused. But what you wrote is perfectly correct in how you wrote it. I just need a new brain. Thank you again to this person for completing the survey. And if anyone else is interested in filling out the survey, there is a link in the show notes and on the website. And now this is the gap of silence, so I can find the time code easily. All right, now for the fade out and the tuck in. So the fade out is something I do to help you fall asleep, and the tuck in is the preparation for the fade out. And tonight's fade out is going to be a two character play by Colin Campbell Clements, and it is titled Yesterday. The inspiration for this fade out was from the person whose survey comments I read tonight. I looked to see what they selected on their survey as their favorite fade out, and you had selected the two-character play in English. So I'd done that many episodes ago. So that seemed like a good idea for me to do another one. Notice now, and you all may have noticed, that I've been doing this, I didn't word that very well, that I've been using the survey of the comments that I read in the episode as the inspiration for each fade out. And it's been really helpful, because it allows me to do something nice person who filled out the survey, and it is helpful to me because I can be indecisive as to what I'm gonna do about, or what I'm gonna do for the fade out. My mind will start thinking, well, I'll do this, or I could do this, or maybe I'll do this, no, I'll do this. And so it's really helpful to me to view the survey as a suggestion, and it allows me to reward or do something in appreciation back for the person who completed the survey. And so I've done this for the last several episodes without, you know, saying that I was going to do this for everyone for every episode, but it keeps happening because it just seems like a good idea. So I don't know, I'm just pointing out this trend, and I'll probably just keep doing that. It's helpful. Okay, so now it's time for the tuck-in, and then followed immediately by the fade-out. Go ahead and turn your lights off in your room. If you have a mobile device, go ahead and turn the screen off and just keep listening to the audio. Adjust your pillow or pillows just the way you like them. Adjust your covers and your sheets and your bedding just the way you like them. Get your body in a comfortable position. Try rolling on your side, or lying on your back. Whichever is the most comfortable for you. Now relax the muscles in your legs. In your arms. In your shoulders, and allow your body to melt into your bed. Think about one good thing from today. Something good that happened to you. Something good someone did for you. or something good you did for someone else. This will be the happy thought you will focus on if you find your mind wandering during the fade out. Lastly, relax your body fully and focus your mind on that one happy thought. Now breathe in and out slowly at a pace that feels relaxing and comfortable for you. Yesterday, a two-character play by Colin Campbell Clements. The female character is described as a certain lady of quality, past 60 years old, and very Victorian. I will speak her lines into the right microphone. The male character is described as a British officer, late of the Indian Army. I will speak his lines into the left microphone. The setting of the play is described as follows: a secluded nook off the ballroom of a London house, almost hidden by palm trees, is a long, comfortable couch piled with colored cushions. The nook is the sort of hide-and-seek place one has around one's house for young lovers. The lady is just entering from the back and walking towards the reclining couch when the curtain rises. The lady sinks down into the cushions of the couch, leans back, and closes her eyes. Oh dear me, how things have changed. She's thinking of the debutantes with their absurd hairdos, their ridiculous gowns, partners and their preposterous way of dancing. How things have changed. I should never have believed it possible. An immaculately groomed old gentleman in uniform comes stumbling towards the couch. Rot. Silly rot. Idiots. What is the world coming? He sees the lady. Oh. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I thought I was quite alone. You were referring to the dancing. Quite right. Quite right. My word. It's preposterous, isn't it? Raising her eyebrows. You mean so unconventional. That's a hardly the word for it. He begins nervously to search for his eyeglass. Hardly the word for it. These coming out parties are not what they used to be when coming out. My word. Nobody seems to be in these days. She is slow at realizing the joke. The young ladies, I mean, the young ladies. He has found his eyeglass, and by a series of fantastic muscular contractions, succeeds in fixing it firmly in his right eye. Exactly, exactly, yes, the young ladies, upon my word, there doesn't seem to be much left for them to come out of. Egad, they seem to be all arms and legs, ahem, limbs. Won't you sit down, Colonel? He responds petulantly. General, madam. General. Well, General, pardon my mistake. Oh, yes. We were speaking of the dancing. You see, the world moves so fast nowadays. And I suppose the dances must keep up with the world. The world running away with itself. She's toying with her white feather fan. When she speaks, there is just the slightest quiver in her voice. It was different when we were young. But we must be tolerant. We are old people now. The eyeglass snaps from his eye. Old. I beg your pardon. Not old, madam. Not really old. Middle-aged, perhaps. Yes. Middle-aged. But not old. She's looking up out of the corners of her eyes, which twinkle kindly. Yes, that's it. Middle-aged. He moves over to the couch, and with some difficulty sits down. He rubs his knee cautiously. From somewhere behind the palms comes the din of a modern, ultra-modern jazz orchestra. There goes that unspeakable music again, that infernal racket. It's like the tom-toms one might hear. Much worse, in fact. Awful. Yes, I dare say you are right. Quite right. Times do change. But we seem to be going backward rather than forward. But we must accept the facts. Unfortunately, I had hoped, when I accepted the invitation for this ball tonight, that I would find something to remind me, even remotely, of my youth. But upon my word, they've even done over the house. Oh, you have been here before. May I ask? Yes, yes. Done over the house. And in this horrible modern way, too. Now, you see, I know this house quite well. I believe nothing has been changed. Nothing. Nothing changed. Really. Well, it seems changed. Yes. It seems changed. Perhaps it is I who have changed. Perhaps it is I who have changed. Perhaps. You know, when one grows old, old, madam, old, I should say middle-aged, when one reaches middle-aged, why, I'm just in the prime of my life, just in the prime. I don't feel a day over 20. Not a day. Why? At the War Office, they still call me Richard. Richard. Yes, yes. That's it. That's it. So you see, I'm not so old, madam. Of course, I have accomplished a great deal during this short time I've been in her mad... that is, His Majesty's service. It's 41 years ago tomorrow that I went out, and I've seen service, my word, for a young chap I have seen service. 41 years. 41 years ago. Yes, yes. Quite right. And as I was saying, I had hoped to find something of my youth here. Some of the old corners and nooks and faces. Some of the old familiar faces. One in particular. Then you. Oh dear, yes, very much so. I suppose every youngster is, until he gets sense. Oh, I was very much in love at the time. Foolishly so. Couldn't live without her, and all that sort of thing. She was a snappy little thing. Clever. Pretty. Very pretty, as I remember. Blue eyes. And golden hair. That sort of girl. And you. You quite forgot about her when you went away. Yes, yes. I quite forgot about her. Quite forgot about her. Life in the service is strenuous, you know. Besides, there's hunting, polo, and that sort of thing. And you married someone else? Never. Oh, I beg your pardon. No, no. I never married. Hadn't the time. Matter of fact. And the young lady. I dare say she is the mother of a large family now. Oh dear me, how times do change. As I was saying, I was very much in love with her. At the time, you understand. But the family. Her family, you understand. Rather objected to me. So I broke off the whole affair. Joined the Indian service. And I've been. Quite content. Quite. Yes. And you haven't tried to see the young lady since you returned to England. See her. See her. Oh dear, no. Might be rather embarrassing for both of us. You see, we were practically engaged at the time. That is, I hadn't come right down to asking. But you know how some things are. Understood, so to speak. But you went away and left, not a exactly left her. Let me see. As I recall it, I believe I did ask her to marry me. And she refused. Let me see. Did she refuse? Did she refuse? Now I remember. She said we would have to think it all over. Very carefully. Yes, that's it. Her very words. Very carefully. I remember how she wrinkled up her little snub nose and... Sir, that is... Yes, yes. Her little snub nose. Oh, mind you. It was a nice little nose. And did you think it over carefully? Very carefully. Not at all. I was a bit of a wild dog in those days, you know. Like most young men, my pride was hurt. I was a proud young fellow. Like most young men, you understand. Of course, I expected her to fall into my arms and live there happily ever after. That is, not in my arms, you know, but as your wife, I understand. As my wife. Oh, yes. Yes. You were a romantic youth. Very, very exceedingly so. I believe I must have been reading Disraeli's novels at the time. Rubbish. But you quite lost all trace of the young lady. Quite. Oh, I was a conceited young lad. Like most young men, you know. Wouldn't have written for worlds. Several years afterwards, I read in the Times that Anne, yes, Anne, pretty name, isn't it? I was always fond of that name. As I was saying, several years afterward, I read in the Times that she had gone with her father to Florence. Since then, nothing. And so your romance ended. It will never. Well, yes. Yes, quite so. It ended. You never married. No, hadn't the time. Always busy. Oh, I did think of it now and then. Not often, mind you, but now and then. Life life in the service does get lonely at times. When the hunting season is off, especially. But I don't mind saying that a man should get married. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My word. I did need someone to take care of me. Someone to. You've outgrown that need. Yes, quite. Oh, quite. My man is very capable. Quite. There goes that infernal music again. Why? It's a waltz. Yes. A waltz. And what happy days those were. Music brings back so many memories. And the young people are happy. And 42 years ago, I too could dance and laugh as they. But you, really? Yes, in this very house, 42 years ago, 42 years ago, upon my word, so long ago as that, is it really so long ago? 42 years. 42 years. I say, we must have known each other then. Perhaps. Perhaps. Do you know, I believe I didn't get your name. Awfully stupid of me. Awfully. I have the pleasure of. Yes, perhaps we did know each other then. And again, perhaps we didn't. Quite right. And you've lived in England ever since. No, after you. That is, I've lived out of England a great deal. I have a small villa near Florence. Have you really? Delightful place, that Florence. Yes. Though a bit lonely at times. Is it really? You know, I had always thought of it as quite gay. That only goes to show how mistaken one can be. Yes. Yes. But I suppose you have your children about you. And all that sort of thing. No, I never married. That's a bit unusual, isn't it? Is it? And I suppose you never will. You know. Oh, goodness, there goes that infernal music again. Yes. Perhaps we had better join the company, Colonel. General Farrington. General Sir Richard Farrington. Oh, I beg your pardon. Pleasure of knowing to whom I am indebted for a very pleasant half hour. May I have the pleasure of knowing to whom I have been speaking? Why, yes, I am Lady Anne Travers. Lady Anne Travers. Not the Lady Anne of. Yes, Sir Richard. Upon my word, God bless my soul, Anne Travers. Anne Travers. I might have known you the moment I saw you. But I must admit, I don't see so well as I used to. That is, not quite so well. Anne Travers. And to think that after all these years, and in this very house. Yes, Richard. Anne, you said you never married. Never married. Nope. Upon my word. But I thought you were mistaken. It was you I loved then. And when you said, "We must think it all over very carefully," really meant, yes, I really meant. Now, isn't that just like a woman? Isn't that just like a woman? Is it? Me. What happy days those were. What happy days. Yes. Yes. My word. Isn't that a waltz they're playing? Yes, Richard. It's a waltz. And will you finish this waltz with me? Why, yes, Richard. I would love to. I hope you are deeply relaxed. Or even better, asleep. Good night. Sleep well.